gonna go to school today. She's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Everybody, Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop. Happy Monday to you. We hope you're staying cool and enjoying a pool. Stay cool and enjoy a pool.
I like that.
Joining me as he has for the last 6 years, please say hello to my friend and yours, Jeffrey with a G, Jeffrey Kramer.
Johnny Scott, happy Monday afternoon to you.
We survived another blistering hot weekend.
We did, and we're actually on the downside now. It's only going to be 110 today.
Well, we're going to get to sports in a minute, but please say hello to our other guests in studio, a friend of mine for a long time, golfing buddy, star of stage, screen, radio, television, the big screen, the little screen, Mr. Tony Lobianco.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for coming in. From Bally's Window Showroom.
Woo!
Vinny A. I am not going to try your last name from the box. I mess it up every time I say it. I want to say Adelfini.
Yeah.
Is that it? I got it?
Adelfi.
Yeah, it was very close, wasn't
it?
It was good.
Which is why it's just Vinny.
It's just Vinny.
Vinny A.
You know, and your kid also, Vin A.
Vin A.
Yeah, you know, I was texting him. He was supposed to join us last week to talk about baseball.
Right.
But I'm sure he was busy with his girlfriend.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Always.
Picking out curtains and whatever he's doing.
Curtains.
So, also in studio, producer, another golfing buddy of mine, Alan Gliss, joining us in studio. So we've got a lot to talk about. The show is going to be very New York heavy, as usual. But let's bring us up to speed a little bit first on sports. What happened over the weekend?
Not a lot going on. We're still feeling the fallout of both the NBA and NHL playoffs here on the West Coast. All anyone could talk about is Lonzo Ball going to the LA Lakers, the impact he's going to have, how good is he going to be, what kind of a problem is his father going to be with the coach, with management, in the locker room. Right now, it's all speculation. The kid did go number two. He is playing for the Lakers. He should be a nice addition to the team at point guard. And now we're waiting for some other big names to see where they're going to land. Obviously, Paul George from the Indiana Pacers has already announced publicly that this year will be his last year in Indiana. So now teams are really trying to put together a package to essentially rent him for 1 year until he becomes a free agent. And then, of course, Boston is in the process of putting something together for all-star Gordon Hayward, who will be a perfect fit and play for his former coach in Boston, who he played for in college at Butler. So lots going on. We're in the middle of a unbelievable, what's shaping up to be an unbelievable baseball season, man. Folks, speaking of New York, and I know this is a little, you know, segregated, those Dodgers from Brooklyn are absolutely
from Brooklyn.
Those Dodgers
didn't they
from,
move?
Yeah, I think in like 57. But the point is, those Dodgers right now are the hottest team in baseball, having won 10 in a row. They have the best record in baseball, and they have the hottest player in baseball. For the first 2 months of the season, all we talked about was Aaron Judge in New York, 26 homers, 59 RBIs. But he's on the back burner now. Mr. Cody Bellinger is now the hottest player in baseball, fastest player to get to 21 home runs, and this team is putting up 10, 12 runs every single night.
Now, Tony and I were talking in the car on the way here about this kid, Judge, breaking whose record?
Joe DiMaggio, pretty soon. Joe DiMaggio, I believe, hit 29 homers in his rookie year.
He surpassed DiMaggio's rookie year for home runs, correct?
Well, not yet. I think he's two away from Joe Gordon,
right?
25, but DiMaggio at 29.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to correct you on baseball.
No, please, by all means. Don't worry about it.
Hey, forget about it.
Listen, the fact is that Judge is on fire. Unfortunately, the Yankees as a team are not doing very well. Yeah. They had a 7-game losing streak. They're 2-8. In their last 10 games. Mm-hmm. The pitching's been a little bit of a problem. Pineda's all over the place. CeCe got back on track for a little bit, and then he fell off. Chapman just came back, so that should help them out of the bullpen. But they just can't seem to get it together. And, yes, they are riddled with injuries. They have a ton of injuries.
Yeah. Did you happen to see 60 Minutes last night?
I did not.
Well, there was something about this Japanese baseball player. I was talking to Tony about it in the car, that they're calling like the next Babe Ruth because he pitches and he's batting leadoff. And he's killing it. Just
I have a feeling when he makes it to the majors here, he won't be leading off anything.
He's throwing 100, 102, 103 mile an hour fastballs.
He's definitely not leading off then.
No, he is. I mean, he's knocking him out of the park as well.
No, but I'm saying here in the United States, oh. when he transfers over here, transitions into American baseball, provided he's going to be playing for a National League team
right.
and having the opportunity to bat, if he plays for an AL team, he'll just pitch.
Sure.
But you won't see a star pitcher like that batting leadoff in America.
Well, he might DH in the American League.
Well, we'll see about
off days. Yeah,
how about that?
Right.
And the current Japanese player, I read, is the oldest player in baseball, Ichiro. He's 43 years old.
Ichiro Suzuki?
Ichiro? Yeah.
Him. Oh, yeah, he's been around forever.
I can't say Vinny's last name.
If the kids out there are listening, you want to model yourself after a baseball player, watch Ichiro Suzuki's career. This guy is an absolute stud, legend player, plays the game right, offense, defense, runs the bases.
Absolutely.
How many seasons of 200 hits combined between his Japanese career and American?
Most hits.
Well over 4,500 hits.
Most hits. Yeah.
Correct. So
and he was on the Cubs.
He was?
Yeah. He was on the Cubbies for a little while.
Ichiro?
Yeah.
Ichiro.
I don't
Maybe
really
one
remember.
Season.
I'm surprised.
I don't really remember that.
You challenged me on that one.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Schwarbs got sent down. Cubbies are tail spinning.
They're not tail spinning. They're just playing 500 ball right now. They're not putting it together either. I tell you, the teams that are really fun to watch this year. Arizona. Colorado.
How about Houston?
Houston.
What is that all
with the
about?
Best record in the American League.
Remarkable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and then you throw in the Dodgers. I mean, it's going to be a really, really fun second half of the season after the All-Star break.
Yeah.
It really is.
I just hope the kid, Judge, in the All-Star break, because everybody's
6 foot seven.
Yeah, they want to see
him. Yeah, 280 pounds.
Yeah, they want to see big. Him hit the ball out of the world. You know what I mean?
He already has the longest home run this season, 495 feet.
But when they get him in that batting box and he's vying for the most home runs, they may wear him out, because he's going to be towering. Yeah. I just hope he doesn't destroy his swing.
This kid's leading the American League in batting average, .332. He's got.
No, he's fourth.
He's number one.
No, he's fourth. But I just looked it up today.
Number one. 332.
Well, 332.
Everybody had a bad day yesterday. Yeah.
So you had a bad day.
It's 1-1 now. I have to get you back.
1-1, you got it, baby. Thank you.
This just in from Alan Gliss.
He did not play for the Cubs, Ichiro.
Of course not.
Our fact checker, Alan Gliss. Well, I thought I spread
there you
that.
Go, Alan.
I think he only played for the American League because later in his career he was DHing.
He was with Miami.
He was with Miami too, right?
Yeah. Seattle and New York. Oh, Miami Marlins. Yes.
Yeah, he played for the Marlins too.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
That's three.
This kid's batting .332, 26 homers, 59 ribbies, 66 runs scored, and for good measure, he throws in 6 stolen bases.
Yeah.
And the kid's built like a tight end.
Right. It's astounding. Wow. Astounding. A rookie.
Yeah. He's bigger than Gronk. Yeah. And he plays great defense, too. He's had a couple of highlight reel catches going over the stands and diving, so kudos.
Yeah. Kudos.
We were talking yesterday. How many weeks is it till football?
6 from Wednesday.
6 weeks?
Till preseason.
6 weeks till preseason starts. Oh, I know. I know. It's tough to sweat it out until football starts.
Jonathan and I were on the phone yesterday afternoon. He said, when's football? I can't do this anymore.
There's nothing to watch. I'm golfed out. I can't watch. Well, I'm watching golf on TV, and I fall asleep every time. Maybe their voices. Yes. He's approaching the 18th hole. Good night. So what about the draft? Do you want to talk about either of the drafts that were last week? And
I mean, we went over it on our Friday show. There's not a whole lot to go over. Vegas, Golden Knights, obviously had the expansion draft here on Wednesday night. And I got to tell you, T-Mobile and Bill Foley, the owner of the team, they really rolled out the red carpet. And kudos to the fans in Las Vegas who came out. They put 10,000 people in the stadium on Wednesday night for the expansion draft. And the NHL did a great job bringing out Gretzky and Messier and Mario Lemieux and a lot of the great living legends to help support NHL's newest team in the NHL. I thought they did a great job in the expansion draft, the highlight being Marc-Andre Fleury, the goalie from the three-time champion Pittsburgh Penguins, came over to Las Vegas. He will be our unbelievable goalie and probably captain to start the season. And you can't go wrong building a team around a great goalie and great defense. And that's
Or a penguin.
Exactly what they did.
Or a penguin.
I know. And why is that, Jonathan?
I just like penguins.
Because? They belong on ice.
They belong on ice. That's why all season I would say the Penguins are going to win. He said, why? I said, Penguins belong on ice.
So they continued the draft with the real draft on Friday night. They drafted three young guys, a defenseman, and two forwards.
Is that the name of a restaurant?
What's that?
Three young guys? Isn't that a Chinese restaurant?
No. But it was nice to see a lot of these young kids from across the United States, Canada, and Europe that are, you know, 17, 18 years old, and they're getting drafted in the NHL. It took place in Chicago, your hometown, on Friday night, so that was a lot of fun to see. Listen, hockey's really coming back on the map. People are starting to watch it again. And here in Las Vegas, I think it's going to be a huge platform for us to build a long-term professional sports city on. Obviously, we'll have the Raiders here in about 3 years. So Vegas is on the map when it comes to sports.
I spoke with a friend, Angelo Casera, who might be calling in later, but the Italian-American Club is actually starting a field hockey team.
What? Field hockey?
Yeah, field hockey league.
A little different than the NHL, but
I know,
okay.
I know.
Last I checked, I think women play field hockey, correct? I don't think there's a men's league. Is there a men's field hockey league?
Well, I know Chris McSorley had a field hockey in Switzerland.
His brother was part owner and coached. I think a field hockey team in Europe, I believe.
Yeah, I think correct. The Italians are trying to change their image.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Bronx Wanderers. First of all, to those that haven't seen the show or know about the show, Vinny, you want to explain the show? Should we have Alan do it?
So yeah, you want to have Alan do it? Yeah,
I think Alan should pitch the show.
Well, I think it's the hottest show in Las Vegas, along with Menopause the Musical. Anyway, they've been here 9 months. It's the first critic that saw the show said, if you like Jersey Boys, you're going to love the Bronx Wanderers. And it's a great story. They play the best music. It's music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and so on. And it's Vinny and his boys and all their friends. And it's really an exciting show. I'm there every night, and I love it. Can't get enough of it.
Now, Vinny, let's hear your explanation of the show.
I work with my kids. I hate it. I'm miserable. No.
Your wife is there every night.
Used to be bowling night when I would go to work. Now it's up with the kids every night.
Tell your Wayne story, because I love that story.
So what a dream come true. So I was a record executive for Columbia Records, and when all my bosses were retiring, we had nowhere to go, actor Chaz Palminteri said to me, take your kids and start a group. They were 14 and 11. I said, it's never going to work. And he said, just do it. We'll help you out. And then everybody kind of came to our rescue. Danny Aiello got involved. Tony Orlando got involved. And everybody kind of pitched us. And it's now 15 years later. The boys are all 20. One's 29. The other's 26.
They don't act.
We tour the world. And it's great. And it's, so it's kind of a retrospective of my career, all the acts that I worked with at Columbia. And we do it in the show and how I was involved with Dion for a long time. And we're having a ball.
So that wasn't the story I was going for.
Oh, the Wayne Newton. I'm sorry, the Wayne Newton story. So for all my dreams coming true that I finally get to come to Las Vegas, Wayne tells a great story in his show that he says on his 35th birthday, Frank Sinatra came on stage, put a bracelet on him, gave him a big hug and said, happy birthday. And he said he had looked at Frank and said, boss, it looks just like a pair of handcuffs. And Frank said, they were. I busted out of them. I kept one. I gave you the other. And he says, I've never taken that bracelet off. So Alan threw a big party in the room for me last month, and Wayne came on stage and said, do you remember the bracelet story? I said, of course I do. He said, you know the part where I say I've never taken it off? I said, yeah, of course. He said, well, that's not true. I took it off 2 weeks ago to have an exact duplicate of it made for you,
wow.
And he took that on me.
Isn't that great?
Look at that.
And the part that absolutely, like, killed me was he looked at me and said, just so you know, there's only three of those in existence. Frank's, mine, and now yours. And he gave me a hug.
That's unbelievable.
Killer. The Bronx Wanderers.
Killer.
Bally's
Windows. You
want to
get a close-up of the bracelet?
5:30 every. For those of you that are listening on the radio, we also are on Facebook Live at Jonathan Scott LV, Jonathan Scott LV. And I think it's time for our first commercial break. So you're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio 920 AM. Stay right where you are.
Since I was here,
Gavin and Scott, Vegas nonstop, wondering what that song has to do with New York. Oh, I've got to wait. Okay. Oh, there we go. I never heard this song.
What?
I don't know it. I don't know it. All right, I'm back. We're back. We're all back. I never heard it. Who did it? Who's the artist? Who did that?
Ace Frehley.
Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
Cool.
On his own, though, right? Before Kiss.
No, it was
after.
One of the solo records they put out in 78, remember?
Not really. I remember Ace, and I remember Kiss.
Ace Frehley's still in town. I think he lives here, doesn't he? Oh, he's here a lot. Anyway, Jonathan's got with Vegas Nonstop. Welcoming some new sponsors, Windows Plus. Summer here, you know, a few years ago when I first moved here, people said put tinfoil on the window to reflect the heat so it wouldn't be so hot, and the window wound up cracking completely because it was so hot. So you might be thinking about new windows. Windows Plus, it's time to think about new windows, glass doors to insulate your home or business, save money on energy. Windows Plus has the newest technology to make your home cleaner, quieter, and look fantastic. For a free estimate, visit Windows Plus 5225 South Valley View at the corner of Alibaba, just south of Tropicana. You can give them a buzz at 702-450-2275. That's 450-2275. New York's original Papaya King.
Yeah.
You guys know that?
Wow.
You know the Papaya King?
Yeah, very good.
Wow.
Two convenient locations serving great New York-style hot dogs, refreshing drinks located on Paradise across from the Hard Rock Hotel, and in the Hawaiian Market Village. Say you heard them on Vegas Nonstop and get your second Papaya King hot dog free.
Wow, good deal.
Who doesn't like free hot dogs?
Yeah. Padre Tequila, which we can't drink here at NBC, but we certainly can on the Friday show.
And it is surely delicious.
Nah, I love that. Padre Tequila. Freight Connection for a quick bid on your next shipment. Mention Vegas Nonstop. Get $50 off your first shipment. Send them an email, info@freightconnection.com. I think that's all the plugs that we need to get out. Plenty going on around town. We had a great time over at the Westgate, where you can see comic Vinny Favorito, one of the best comedians in Las Vegas. If you've never seen Vinny, hold on tight. Get ready to laugh your spleen off. If you enjoy Indian food, we recommend Royal India Restaurant at the Rio Hotel. Royal India has a large wine selection open for lunch. Also, check out the new Nerd Nightclub at Neonopolis offering Comic-Con style. Is Bobby cracking you up?
No, you are.
Why? Because I'm reading too
you
fast?
You roll right from Vinny Favorito right into great Indian food.
Well, Vinny would like that. Nerd at Neonopolis. Also, the month of June, the Metropolitan Gallery of Las Vegas Art Museum at Neonopolis. Very cool exhibit of the art of Cirque du Soleil employees Wednesday through Saturdays, noon to 5 p.m. Shout out to our friend Carla Pellegrino. We were hanging out with Carla on Friday. Great time.
You want to talk about great New York Italian food?
Yeah.
Go to Battalion on Eastern and Henderson, man. That's great stuff. Great stuff.
Tony knows Rao's because he goes to Rao's in New York, but it's the meatballs are the same recipes.
Yeah, it's just terrific. Kind of. I've been going to Rao's in New York for a long time.
Don't you need a reservation or something?
Oh, yeah.
You can't, get,
only
a, like, you what, can't four, get a reservation.
14 tables?
Yeah, people own their own table in New York.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. They have standing reservations every week.
That's right, that's right.
You can go see Joey Pots and Pans there.
Oh, yeah.
So I love to do this, Tony. I'm going to do this with you now. This is the Wikipedia because it's never right.
Okay.
So correct me with anything that's wrong.
Okay.
The life and career of Tony Lobianco, born in Brooklyn.
Correct.
That part's right. Son of a housewife, mother, and a taxi drive father?
Yes, sir.
Your dad drove a cab?
Oh, yes, he did.
Or did he, before? Because my grandfather actually had a horse and buggy. He was a milkman, and he would deliver the milk with a horse.
Really?
Anyway.
Really?
Known for your tough guy roles in the cult films The Honeymoon Killers. We could talk about any one of them along the way.
Sure.
What was The Honeymoon Killers, besides the obvious?
It was a rather true story, a movie I'm very, very proud of. The first movie I did, the first lead, and... It was a true story about Raymond Fernandez and Martha Beck, and they both eventually went to the electric chair for murder. And it's a chilling movie and a cult classic now. Made it in 1968, and followed it up with A French Connection.
So is that what the guy would do? He would kill people that were on their honeymoon?
Well, no. What he was is he answered, it's like what we do today, only you do it over the machine you have in front of you. You meet people over the internet, and what he would do is back then is answer lonely heart letters.
Interesting.
And so when he'd meet the women, he'd romance them and then take their money. And if they caused him a problem, he'd kill them.
There you go.
So, I mean, the man was the man
simple
was,
enough.
I don't have any problem with that.
Simple enough.
So lighthearted comedy.
What's the problem?
He was a businessman.
Now it's going to make it into a musical.
For sure.
The Honeymoon Killers.
And what's lovely about the movie is that he sends a letter out to Martha Beck, who happens to be a nurse, and she comes and she's never had. A romantic fellow like him, and when she goes back to her town, he just wanted to have too much to do with her. He's taken whatever money he could. She didn't have that kind of money, but she falls in love with him, and she threatens to kill herself if she doesn't come romance her. So he brings her in, and he tells her everything he is, and he shows her all the pictures of the women that he's knocked off and what business he's in, and she says, she doesn't care. She loves him so much she wants to be with him and go on these trips with these women as posing as his sister. And so it's a rather startling movie and a really good movie. It's become a big cult classic, and I recommend it.
Who wrote it?
It's Kastner, his name, as he passed. But he never wrote a movie before. He wrote operas. He was an opera writer, and he didn't write one since because he wound up taking over the direction of the movie in the last 2 weeks of the movie, but he never knew how to direct a movie. And so he got offered movies from it and couldn't do them. But it
great storyline.
It's a startling movie, really is, and I'm really proud of that movie.
I think it should be a musical. The French Connection, probably the movie that you're most known for.
Mm-hmm. Now, that was, of course, 5 Academy Awards, the great Gene Hackman, Roy Scheider. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. And William Friedkin as director, and
Chicago guy.
Chicago guy, and we had all friends in that movie. We had Sonny Grasso, who was the original detective, along with Eddie Egan, and so it was a real family affair in making that movie. And we had a great, great time. And fortunately, it won 5 Academy Awards, and. There's great stories in there, but it's just too many to tell.
Were you guys all friends prior to the movie, or you just forged your bond during filming?
Well, I knew Sonny. I knew Roy very well. I'd done 5 projects with him. In fact, he even performed in my theater. I had a theater on the east side called the Triangle Theater, and Roy was one of my actors. And so I've known Roy, Sonny, Eddie Egan, those guys. I didn't know Gene, but we got became best friends.
He must have been cool to work with.
He's great. He was a great man.
Now, here's what I didn't
know. He's a
great
man. He's a great man.
That you were a Golden Gloves boxer.
Yes, I fought club fighting as a kid, 16 years old. Then I entered the Golden Gloves. And
every kid growing up in Brooklyn who was Italian was a Gold Gloves.
You got to believe it. That's for sure.
And a baseball player.
I had a tryout with the Brooklyn Dodger rookies.
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
Really?
At Ebbets Field.
Right.
How about that? And that's a great story. I'll tell you quick if I can tell
you
quickly.
Take your time.
It's all you.
We got an hour.
Well, anyway, we're in the dugout, and Al Campanis is the scout. And so
from the Detroit Tigers?
No, from the Dodgers. From the Dodgers.
That was close.
So,
not Campanella.
So, oh, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I know.
So what happens is he says to us kids who are in the dugout, 17 or 16, 17 years old, he says, remember, nobody walks on this field. When your foot touches Dodger dirt, you run. That's Al Campanis.
I love it.
So I got so excited being there. When my foot touched Dodger dirt, I got a nosebleed. So here I am out in the outfield trying to get to my nose to stop bleeding. And I'm in Ebbets Field, folks, and I'm looking at the posters, and I'm out in the outfield and what have you. And so it was a real mess. By the time I got my nose on the control, I'm bleeding all over my uniform, all over my glove, so on. Everything is assigned to where they're going. It's a disaster. So nothing worked out. But years later, I become very good friends with Tommy Lasorda and Al Campanis, who is now the general manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. And so we're good pals, and we're sitting in, I'm sitting with Al Campanis now in his box watching Doc Gooden pitch against Valenzuela.
Wow.
At Dodger Stadium. And I'm watching the game, and I see Doc Gooden go into his windup, and the Dodgers have a runner on first base. And I said, well, this guy's easy to steal on. Look where he comes set. you know, Doc Good.
He's got the big windup. Yeah.
Over his head.
Yeah, the big windup.
You know, before.
Sure.
He comes set here.
Brought that knee super high.
That's right. He picks up the phone. He calls down to the dugout. And the next pitch, the guy's still running. The guy's still second. So here, how about that for a circle? Here I am, a kid. He's a scout. Now he's a general manager. And I'm telling him how to steal a base in the big leagues.
Did they offer you the job as a stolen base coach?
I don't know if they have that position. Now, you won an off-Broadway Obie Award for a play called Yanks 3, Detroit 0. Top of the seventh.
There you go.
That kind of fits our format. What was that?
Absolutely. I was playing a Yankee baseball player, pitcher, in a play, throwing live. And what's wonderful about the story is... Hal Prince hired me. He was going to direct, and then he got let go, or they made disagreement with the management, and so Alan Arkin took over. And what happened was, when I got up to pitch, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What?" He said, "You're pitching. You're left-handed." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got your back to the audience." I said, "Oh, yeah, right. Oh, look, I'll pitch from the other side of the stage." He said, "Well, that's the weakest side of the stage." I said, "You're right." I said, "Okay, I'll pitch right-handed." He said, "What?
How'd you do that?
You can pitch right-handed and left-handed?" I said, "Yes."
Were you a switch hitter also?
No, I batted lefty.
That's a personal question.
I batted righty. So I pitched. I trained myself and to pitch right-handed. And Steve Garvey of the Dodgers then got the Dodgers,
great Steve Garvey, great
married
Steve
to Cindy Garvey.
Yeah, well, not anymore
at the time.
And he came to the show, and he said to me, "I've never seen an actor portray a professional baseball player better than you have."
So accurately.
And when I told him that I was doing with the wrong hand, he almost fainted.
That's great.
You know, you mentioned Alan Arkin. I just found out like a little tiny bit of trivia about Alan Arkin. I didn't know he was a songwriter.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
And I met a person that he wrote a very famous song for.
Who?
Harry Belafonte.
Is that
Alan
right?
Arkin wrote the song, Dale.
No kidding.
Dale.
Really?
Alan Arkin wrote that song. That.
I think we got to get Alan to check that.
Really?
Get the fact checker. We're going to take another quick commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, 9:20 a.m. Stay right there for the Cubs.
The Whiz Kids had won it. Bobby Thompson had done it. And Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella. Talking baseball, the man and Bobby Feller. The scooter, the barber and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque. Especially Willie, Mickey and the Duke. Well, Casey was winning, Hank Aaron was beginning. One Robbie going out, one coming in. Kiner and Midget Goodell, the Thumper and Mel Parnell. And Ike was the only one winning down in Washington. I'm talking baseball.
John in the Sky with Vegas Nonstop.
That's great.
Vinny from the Bronx Wanderers talking baseball. Vinny. So talk a little bit about the song.
That was an amazing thing. What happened was there was an old-timers game, and a great New York sports writer, Dick Young, his son-in-law, Thornton Geary, invited us all to a game. And we went to, and it was called billed as the four greatest New York center fielders. And in from the outfield, the last guys coming on were Willie, Mickey, and the Duke, and Joe DiMaggio. And they took a picture from the back of them, and you just see their numbers. And Terry Cashman, who was my boss, gets a picture from Thornton, which the Daily News published. And he said, "I'm telling you, there's a song in that picture, but Joe never really fit because he was from the generation before." Mm-hmm. So he winds up writing Willie, Mickey, and the Duke, the whole New York baseball experience, arguing on the corner, who's the best center fielder? My guy's Mickey, your guy's, you know, Willie, your guy's Duke. And it just became this phenomenon. And that's baseball goes on strike. And the amazing thing that it goes on strike, now everybody's clamoring for baseball. We put that song out, and it became, it cracked the top 40, which was...
What year was that strike?
1981.
81.
I have that whole collection of every baseball player and that strike year.
Right.
Every ball player.
81?
81.
81.
Well, I believe Alan Arkin was in the team.
That's, you know, the big, is that Valenzuela's rookie year?
He was the manager.
I don't know.
But the big complaint that we got was we didn't put Joe in the song. And we couldn't get to him. Yeah, we couldn't get to his people. And it's never going to work. He called the office, and they said, it's Joe DiMaggio. He's like, get out of here. He said, no, it's Joe DiMaggio. And he was upset that he wasn't in the song. So we wound up doing a Yankee version, and the tag at the end of the song was Joe D. Joe D. Yeah. Joe D.
And here's to you. And here's to you, Joe DiMaggio. Yeah.
It wound up spawning, at that time we did 24 versions.
That's
and
unbelievable.
26.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Now, Jeff, you had a question about Arthur Miller?
Well, yeah, on the theater side.
It's kind of related in a way through Marilyn Monroe to Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, a little bit. But
if we're playing Kevin Bacon, Six Degrees of Separation, which we're not.
I really want to focus. We're talking about New York today, and these guys grew up at a time where baseball in New York was lore. It was everything. If you were a kid growing up in Brooklyn, the Dodgers were gods. If you were growing up in the Bronx, the Yankees, number 7, Mick the Stick. I mean, you knew all of his stats. You guys were at the ballpark every day. Yep. Tell us what that's like being in New York and growing up and knowing everything about the players.
Well, this is Tony. I grew up in Brooklyn. However, I was a New York Giants fan. And Willie Mays was my guy.
The New York baseball Giants.
Yes, the New York baseball Giants, which people never heard of anymore.
Right.
But I was a Willie Mays fan. He was a spectacular ball player. And Leo DeRocher.
I was going to say, so who were some
Leo
of the
Lip.
Leo the Lip.
Who was with the Cubs?
You may be right.
He was the manager of the Cubs.
That's right. That's
yes.
Right. Yeah,
so I finally got the Cubs.
I got my Cubs plug in.
That's how I got into a lot of combat. Being a New York Giants fan in Brooklyn.
I'm sure you fought a lot on the street against guys now, that Tony, were all Giant, Dodgers fans.
Yeah. Now, Tony's in town because of an event that's going on tonight, which we should mention the event at South Point, which is a roast of our local Dennis Bono. It's a roast, but more importantly, it's being hosted by Dina Martin, who's a dear friend of yours. So you've been in all weekend performing.
Dina Martin, Dean Martin's daughter, obviously, is celebrating Dean's 100th birthday, which we're really, really thrilled about. And so I'm here for her. And we had a wonderful, she gave two performances the day before and yesterday. And now tonight we are roasting Dennis Bono. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think we're doing, the doors open at 5:00. And it's at South Point, right?
It's at the South Point Hotel and Casino on Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah, and the curtain is at 6:00. I think it's sold out. I don't know. But you should
There might be tickets available.
There might be tickets available.
Yeah, so it's going to be a roast. Our friend Clint Holmes is going to be there.
Yes.
Frankie Shinta is going to be there. So it's going to be a great event. If you're looking for something to do tonight to get into some air conditioning.
And Rich Little is going to be there.
And Rich Little, the great Rich Little, been on the show with us before. I do want to talk a little bit, and then we're going to get to that piece, about your one-man show, His Honor, where you portray the larger-than-life 1934 to 1945 mayor of New York City, Fiorello H. LaGuardia. Just a little capsulated about your show.
So, well, that's, you know.
I know it's hard to.
You know, it is something that I've been doing for a number of years, and I keep it up to date. Even though he was mayor in New York from 1934 to 1945, I've changed a lot of the dialogue that is relevant today. That was relevant back when he was mayor. So the audience, gets an education, also gets a tremendous amount of humor and insight into our political scene, and that it's quite relevant. And I'm thinking of coming out here and doing it for you guys. And
that would be wonderful.
I look forward to doing that.
That'd be great.
But Tony, you want to talk about this? This is something that you write and you perform. It's called "Just a Common Soldier." Why don't you tell us about this first?
Well, this is something that I know this is a sports show, but and I know you have a lot of wonderful Americans listening in who care about our country and direction it's going. And incidentally, the Supreme Court today just passed a law, the president's law, allowing the ban. So I'm happy about that because we got to keep our country safe, and we've certainly got to know who is coming in. So that's been passed, and I must say, surprisingly, unanimously, unanimous. Can you imagine having a Supreme Court vote unanimously on something today for a change? Now,
you sure that's not fake news?
No, that's not fake news.
Alternative facts?
No, none of that.
Okay. It's definitely real news.
But, you know, it's something I'm very much, my heart is full of our veterans and a tribute to them. And I did a 5-minute video 2 years ago, and I would like actually to do it for you, but I really ask you to go to justacommonsoldier.com, justacommonsoldier.com, and you will see this video. It's 5 minutes, 34 seconds, and I said to Jonathan on the way over, I said, how many views do you think this video has so far in 2 years? And he guessed...
I guessed 2 million.
He guessed 2 million.
Wow.
You know how many?
How many?
Over 22 million.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Is that amazing?
Awesome.
Is that shocking? Now, I'd like to do this for you, if it's okay.
Please.
Yep, of course.
This is Just a Common Soldier by Lawrence Vaincourt. And incidentally, this poem is engraved at West Point. He was getting old and paunchy, and his hair was falling fast. And he sat around the Legion telling stories of the past, of a war that he had fought in and the deeds that he had done, in his exploits with his buddies. They were heroes, everyone. And though, you know, sometimes to his neighbors, his tales became a joke. All his Legion buddies listened, for they knew whereof he spoke. But we'll hear his tales no longer, for old Bill has passed away, and the world's a little poorer, for a soldier died today. He will not be mourned by many, just his children and his wife, for he lived an ordinary and quite uneventful life. He held a job, raised a family, just quietly going his own way. And the world won't note his passing, though a soldier died today. When politicians leave this earth, their bodies lie in state, while thousands note their passing and proclaim that they were great. Papers tell their whole life stories from the time that they were young. But the passing of a soldier goes unnoticed and unsung. Is the greatest contribution to the welfare of our land a guy who breaks his promise and cons his fellow man? Or the ordinary fellow who in times of war and strife goes off to serve his country and offers up his life? A politician's stipend and the style in which he lives are sometimes disproportionate to the service that he gives. While the ordinary soldier who offered up his all is paid off with a medal and perhaps a pension, small. It's so easy to forget them, for it was so long ago that the old Bills of our country went to battle. But we know it was not the politicians with their compromises and ploys who won for us the freedom that our country now enjoys. Should you find yourself in danger with your enemies at hand, would you want a politician with his ever-shifting stand? Or would you prefer a soldier who has sworn to defend his home, his kin, and country, and would fight until the end? Yes, he was just a common soldier, and his ranks are growing thin. But his presence should remind us we may need his like again. For when countries are in conflict, then we find the soldier's part is to clean up all the troubles that the politicians start. If we cannot do him honor while he's here to hear the praise, then at least let's give him homage at the ending of his days. Perhaps just a simple headline in a paper that would say, "Our country is in mourning for a soldier died today."
Tony LoBianco. Wow. Heartfelt, honest words, great performance. You can see Tony tonight at South Point with his friend Dina Martin. How long have you been doing that? How long?
Two years now. You know,
22 million
views. Go to justacommonsoldier.com and take a look at this because it's a beautiful video. Also, you know, they gave us on Broadway, 47th Street, 2 years in a row now. They put it up on the big screen right in Times Square. And we have marvelous speakers come and talk. We had a 95-year-old World War II veteran come. He stole the show. God bless him. Strong and wonderful. And the Greatest Generation. And it's just Daniel Rodriguez sang beautifully. And it was quite a ceremony, and I'm very proud of it. And we're going to do it every year.
Well, thank you for doing it. It was just great.
Yeah, it was beautiful the way you read it.
Great reading.
Thank you so much.
If you could work a little bit on the drama part, though.
Thank you
so much. So some of the shows, your police story that we talked about on the way here, but you know, your social responsibility stands on its own. Tony, an Italian-American, was the national spokesperson for the Order Sons of Italy in America. Many humanitarian efforts, been earned multiple awards, including Man of the Year for outstanding contributions to the Italian-American community, for the Police Society of New Jersey, Man of the Year Award for the State of New Jersey, Senate Lifetime Entertainment Award from the Columbus Day Parade Committee, goes on and on and on and on. Humanitarian Award from the Boys Town of Italy. But let's talk a little bit about New York City. I know you guys want to talk about favorite restaurants, favorite things to do. We had trivia questions. Jeffrey with a G. What was your favorite restaurant when you lived in New York?
Well, I lived in Astoria, Queens, just on the other side of the Triborough from the Bronx.
Right.
And over on Ditmars and 31st was a little Italian restaurant called Trattoria L'Incontro with a wonderful maitre d', Dominic, and Chef Rocco. And just hanging out in the neighborhood. Like, what I miss most living here now, although I love Las Vegas, is the neighborhood.
Right. Well, same with Chicago. There's no, you know,
You walked outside, you knew your neighbors, they knew you. How's your mom? How's your dad? How's your grandmother? They knew your siblings. They knew everything about you.
Yeah, we're missing
and they
that
were family.
Yeah.
And,
You know, it's interesting. We're so involved now with the machines in front of us of all kind, and we've dehumanized ourselves. You know, it's a real pity. And we really have to get back to the humanness of ourselves, and we're losing it desperately with iPads and this. And so our head is so bowed down and so involved in that, we're losing human contact.
The art of communicating is being lost.
As I was playing with the phone and adjusting it for our Facebook Live broadcast.
What was Vinny, it like,
was it in the Bronx restaurant?
You know, I came from Arthur Avenue, so if you look up Arthur Avenue in the Bronx, I mean, it says it all. I mean, you know, we had Anatoni's, Dominic's, Mario's, Rigoletto's. If I don't say Rigoletto's, I'll get shot.
You get a broken Legoletto. I'd like to order the broken Legoletto.
No shooting section, please.
But it's like you had a place to go for your cheese, your bakery, your
everywhere.
Meat, your this, your that,
everywhere.
Right?
Yep. Everywhere.
Absolutely.
If you go back there now and you go in, if you even look it up online, the market on Arthur Avenue, it's like stepping back into 1960. Nothing's changed.
I love that they've kept so many of those shops the same.
Beautiful.
It looks exactly the same.
In Brooklyn, too, they have a lot of old school shops like that.
Yeah.
I tell people, you know, do you have a pork store here? They don't know what the pork store is.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
You know, they don't understand that.
Peter's.
Yeah. Peter's. Exactly.
I like Patsy's, you know. Did Tavern on the Green ever reopen?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Oh,
yes,
that's
did.
Good.
And Patsy's is our favorite, too. One of my favorite places. Of course, Rayo's and Patsy's.
Patsy's is great. The chef is on Facebook all the time.
Oh, yeah. They're good people. As a matter of fact, he's going to sponsor a show, one of my shows, with LaGuardia, the Little Flower. You know, and so he's going to sponsor that. We're doing that in January of next year. 18.
We've got plenty of time.
We've got plenty of time.
Plenty of time to get your tickets.
That's great.
So Patsy's one of yours. What about things to do in New York?
Just walking across the Brooklyn Bridge, going through the park, going downtown into Little Italy or Chinatown, walking around the South Street Seaport. I mean, you could
do it all. Visitor, I find myself doing the same things. I haven't been back to the city for a few years. But Tavern on the Green used to be one of the things I would do.
Sure.
Going to the park, I would always go to Strawberry Fields. I'd go to the Imagine thing.
Rockefeller Center at Christmas.
Rockefeller Center shop in New York in Christmas
walk through F.A.O. Schwartz and watch the window at the closed.
We didn't ask Alan. Yeah. Do you have a favorite restaurant in New York?
They did.
Rosenau used to be on Park Avenue. It was on Park Avenue. Greatest Italian restaurant in Las Vegas.
Which one?
New York. Rosenau.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They built a big skyscraper around it, but they wouldn't give up the restaurant.
That's great.
Rose and Al's. Sure. So I would do my favorite things. Yeah, I'd go to Tavern on... on the Green. I almost said Tavern on Rush.
Go down to Katz's for a corned beef sandwich.
There you go.
On Houston.
It would be, I would go to the 2nd Avenue Deli.
Because
Jackie Mason was there all the time.
Sure.
So I would go and meet Jackie Mason until the guy got stabbed out in front of the 2nd Avenue Deli. And that was pretty much the end of the 2nd Avenue Deli.
You know, you had mentioned about Arthur Miller. And I'll just do a quick story if you don't mind.
No, please.
Sure, we got 2 minutes.
I was in acting school, and Arthur Miller came to our school. He talked to us kids. And he did a scene from A View from the Bridge. He didn't do it. I mean, he had two kids do it. And I looked at that scene and I said, I'm going to do that play on Broadway one day. And 27 years later, I did the play on Broadway. I'm the first actor to ever do that play on Broadway as a full-length play with Arthur Miller. And walking down the street and seeing both our names over the title, I said to him, look at that. Not bad for two kids from Brooklyn.
That's great.
Great story.
You were nominated for a Tony
Award
for that?
Yes, thank you.
A Tony got his Tony.
I won the Outer Circle.
Tony got his Tony.
Yeah.
Well, we got a couple of minutes left. Any highlights, anything to look for going into the week from the world of sports?
Well, we're coming into July 4th weekend, so always a good time to watch baseball. You know, growing up, I was actually, I hate to say this, I'm a Red Sox fan. I lived in Boston before I moved to New York, and obviously the famous July 4th no-hitter, the Yankees, was that Rigetti?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep.
Rigetti no-hit the Red Sox on July 4th. So memories like that, I always remember.
Now, wait a minute. That was Steinbrenner's birthday, July 4th.
Okay, we're out of time. The music playing means we're out of time. Tony Lobianco tonight.
Thank you guys so much.
At South Point. Vinny Bally Showroom, 7 nights a week.
Yeah.
7:30 now?
7:30 tonight.
Over 5:30.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we do 7:30 in the
summer. Almost remember that. Hey, thanks for listening. You can see us out, buy us a drink. Join us on Friday. Eat well, party hard, like us, and share us. So long, everybody.
Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, because there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown? Tell me why I don't like me.